Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most college football talk in town, and we are live from Charlotte for the 2025 ACC kickoff, one of my favorite events of the year because of the access that we get. And we are joined right now by the head coach of Pitt, Pat Narduzzi. What's going on, Coach?
Hey, Adam, I'm doing great. Came down to Charlotte yesterday and fired up, ready to roll today.
Absolutely. You look tremendous in this suit. It is superb. I love it.
I appreciate it.
Let me start with this. What did you learn from last season?
Oh, boy. How much time you have?
Yeah.
We learned a lot. You know, I'd say the biggest thing is, we started right. We didn't finish like we'd like to, for whatever reason. And again, we can point to a bunch of different reasons why we didn't finish. But main thing is we had to have better depth. We didn't have enough depth to get done what we needed to get done. We're in some battles, and we didn't, early in the season, we won some close battles, and then later in the season, we lost those battles. So it's a game of inches. We got to win more inches as we move forward.
The reason I ask you that is because is there something you can do differently in July, August, and September to make sure that you guys can keep at that level through December?
Yeah, there is. I mean, the first one is trying to stay healthy, and, that's easier said than done. But just a mindset. It's a mindset, talking to our players on the way down on the plane, just talking about, who are we going to be this year when it comes to that point. And I think it's really important that, that mindset is there. And when we get to it, we're prepared for it. And I think that's what you love as coaches is when you get to that point of something like that happens to you, you get to fix it. That's what we do. We put fires out and fix problems. And that's the joy of coaching football.
Joined by head coach Pat Narduzzi for Pitt. So this is year 11, correct?
Correct.
For you. So you've seen so much changes in college football. NIL transfer portal. What about that have you used to your advantage?
Oh, boy. We're going to use everything to your advantage. Again, coaches, there's a situation comes up, whether it's a transfer portal, name, image, and likeness. What are we doing at Pitt? What are we doing as an athletic department and as a university to fix the problems? But I think it's all been done to our advantage. First thing, you just talked about the transfer portal. To our advantage is we're going to do a great job evaluating the people in that portal. Mm-hmm. We're not just going to take guys to take guys. Oh, it's a guy from, wherever, Oklahoma. Let's get him. He must be good. No, he could be really bad. Let's make good decisions on who we take out of that portal. But to me, the portals, can work for you and against you, right? I mean, you can lose some guys that you want to, we lost Jordan Addison, maybe one of the first biggest moves, Biletnikoff winner to go to USC.
Yeah.
And, you lose a guy like that, you kind of learn from it. And we haven't really lost anybody like that since. So, there's so many things you learn from it. But the big thing is making good decisions, taking the right guys out of the portal.
I wonder your thoughts on last year was the first year of the 12-team college football playoffs. And there's a lot of talk right now about expanding the basketball tournament. Is 12 the right number for college football?
You know what? It's way above my pay grade. I'm going to kind of stay in my lane. But I'll give you an answer. And I'm not going to be this boring guy here on the radio show this morning because people, as they drive into work this morning, don't want to hear some boring answer. But, I'm happy with whatever it is, okay? I'm good with 12. I'm good with 16. Do we want it to be 64? I don't think so. Everybody gets a chance. Is this, I think it's got to be elite. 12 to 16 is elite. I could go with either one of them. I think you need to earn it. I think some people get this image that, you know, they're entitled to these spots, and I don't like the entitlement part of it. Like, well, we get four and you get two. Like, I don't want to hear all that. How about you earn it? Okay. There's some people, you know, at Pitt, we've built ourselves and we've worked up, you know, the top 25. Some people start off in the top 25, lose two games, and they're still in the top 20. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. You got to win football games. And I don't care, you know, you can talk competition. I think the ACC is outstanding. So is the Big Ten. So is the SEC. And again, you know, there's great teams in you know, there's the top end guys in the SEC. There's also the top end guys in the ACC, SEC, Big Ten. But there's also the bottom feeders. Like, I don't want to hear about how good this conference is. That doesn't make sense.
I wonder, from your experience, bounce around to other colleges and being at Michigan State, how did that help you prepare for the ACC?
Well, I think, you know, any job you have, whether it was at Rhode Island, one of my, you know, very, very first jobs, you know, I think that prepares you. You know, you're always getting prepared every day. If you didn't get prepared every day as you work through this profession, or you work through, you know, doing radio, if you didn't get better every day, you know, really, where are you going? So, you know, I think, you know, every trip, every coach you worked with helps you get prepared for that job. And I think, you know, everything up until the point I got to Pitt prepared me for this job and has kept me in the seat for the last 11 seasons.
Coach Pat Narduzzi from Pitt, I got to ask you about the backyard brawl. What's it like in that rivalry with West Virginia?
You know what? It's outstanding. You got people saying, hey, we're not going to play them after this year for 3 years. So everybody better get their worth, you know, this year in the backyard brawl. But 3 years we're off, and then we're on for another four. But people are talking now, like, is there any way we can get those three games played?
Mm-hmm.
Can we get, you know, who's going to have to buy out games, West Virginia, Pitt, just to get that game played again? I'm all for it. Let's do it. You know, I think it's a game that needs to be played. I don't care, you know, when it's played, November, Thanksgiving Day was played a long time ago. I thought, you know, as a little kid, I used to watch that game, right? Living in Youngstown, Ohio, and about an hour and a half down the road. So I think, you know, I think that game is intense. It'll be even more intense with Rodriguez getting there. It'll be even more intense that it's on, you know, 9/13, September 13th. And, you know, I think I'm fired up for that game. But we got Duquesne first, then the opener.
Coach, really appreciate you taking the time to join us. I loved watching your team play last season, and I felt like halfway through the season, you know, you were the talk of the conference here. And, you know, of course, we talked about how it ended and how you want to build up better this year. But do you think you have a championship contending roster this year, and why?
I do, Adam. I think, you know, I think we had one last year. We have one if we stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
If things go our way a little bit, which you always need a little bit of luck, but I do believe we have a championship team. I expect to be in Charlotte in December.
Can you explain why the ACC, you think, is in the same conversation as the SEC, the Big 12, and the Big 10?
Well, first of all, it's not in the conversation with the Big 12. They're out. Okay? They're out. I think, again, we're in the conversation. We're definitely in the conversation with those three you just talked about. We're all three. It's the power three. Let's say it right there, right? Again, the SEC is elite, okay? The Big Ten is good football. I've coached in both. I just think the athletic ability in the ACC surpasses the Big Ten, okay? And you could simply look at a map and look at the location of, let's just say, the old Big Ten, because I wasn't with the now USC's in there, UCLA and Washington out west. But the Atlantic Coast Conference, the ACC goes up and down the coast, okay? There's plenty of great players in the South, as we know, right? I mean, whether it's in North Carolina or South Carolina or Florida. So, to me, the ACC and the footprint of where we play these games, if you're a kid at Miami, Miami, Florida doesn't recruit you, and they look you over like Kalijah Kancey, we'll come down, and Kalijah's like, heck yeah, I'd like to go play a pick because I get to come down and play in front of my hometown crowd in Miami and put on a show. And now he's a first-rounder at Pitt and playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, killing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things, I think, because of the footprint. And again, no disrespect to the upper Midwest, but it just doesn't have what we have. I just look at it as a defensive guy defending offenses. You know, they talk about the quarterback conference, ACC. I mean, there's more ACC quarterbacks in the NFL and another first rounder last year out of Miami. So, I mean, that's why I think that's the case.
Yeah, and I think you hit it in terms of the quarterbacks, especially when you get the number one overall pick last year in Cam Ward, then Carson Beck comes in, and there's all this talent in the ACC. Tell us a little bit about your quarterback.
Well, let's talk about Kenny Pickett, another first rounder a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But we won a championship with him. But Eli Holstein's our guy right now. I think he's outstanding. He's done a great job for us. He's led the way. He's had a great summer. He's about 224 pounds right now, I believe. He slimmed down just a taste. You know, Coach Bell wanted his feet to be moving faster and be able to, you know, get out of trouble if he needs to. But we're excited about him. Our team trusts him and has a lot of faith in him.
Yeah, the continuity is so important.
Outstanding, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, the coaching too. I mean, we got all of our assistant coaches back too, which is critical.
Yeah,
the continuity of the coaches, continuity of the players, keeping guys out of the portal and retaining them. Obviously really important.
Yeah, how difficult has it been? I mean, we talk about keeping players, but keeping your assistant coaches.
That's, you know, these young coaches are just like the players now. They want to go into portal sometimes and get a new job. You know? So, yeah, that's never easy either. Just trying to make them make good decisions. And, again, I'm all for them moving up just like I did. But I spent 11 years with Mark D'Antonio, 3 at Cincinnati and 8 at Michigan State before I left. And I had dozens of opportunities to leave as a head coach or a defense coordinator to go to a different conference, okay, down south. Okay, I could have done all that. But I stayed at Michigan State because of loyalty, and that's how you get good.
Lastly, Coach, you mentioned all the NFL talent at a Pitt. How gratifying is that for you?
It's really gratifying. I mean, you know, my 10 years, we've had 31 guys drafted. Okay, and in the last 5 years, we've had 20. So that means we had 11 in the first 5 and 20 in the second. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
That means we've developed and built a real program that's sustainable. And I think that's kind of what you want to do as a head football coach.
Coach, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Appreciate you. Hail to Pitt.
Yep, that is Pat Narduzzi, head coach of Pitt. You're listening to AWOD on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, live from Charlotte, North Carolina for the 2025 ACC kickoff. And joining us right now, looking sharp in his, what do you call that, powder blue suit there, representing Pitt, running back Dez Reed. What's going on, man?
Yes, sir. Nothing much. Doing good. You know, just ready for the season.
Yeah.
You know?
Have you done a media day like this before?
No. It's really my first one, you know. It's a great experience, you know. I'm loving it so far, though.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like when your coach brings you here, it means you've arrived. You know, they want to promote you from the work that you put in in the off season. So how does that feel when coach said, hey, you're coming with me?
You know, I felt great. You know, it's just a blessing, you know, to be here with, you know, a couple of the guys. You know, I'm loving it. You know, I'm just excited for the day. You know, I'm just happy to be here.
So I got to ask you this funny question. So last year when I was here, I asked every single player, what's it like to be in a video game, right? Because EA College Football had come out. Now it's a year later. I want to ask you, how cool is it to be in a video game?
You know, it's cool. You know, I'm happy that they decided, you know, to come out with the game last year. You know, it's coming to my last couple of years. You know, I was excited for that. But, you know, it's just cool being able to, you know, get on the game and play with yourself, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very fun. You know, you talk trash with your teammates and all, so it's very fun.
Did you grow up as a gamer?
Yeah, I was a big gamer growing up. You know, I kind of slowed down, you know, playing the game, you know, because my time. But, yeah, growing up, I used to play the game too much, actually.
What game were you playing?
I'm a big sports guy, so, you know, Madden. You know, back then, it wasn't really – well, it was college football, but – for my system, they didn't have college football. So, you know, I was a big Madden, 2K player. Those were my main two games right there.
So, in this year's game, did they get your jukes right? Did they get your speed right?
To be honest, I think they could have upped my speed a little bit and my juking. You know, but I'm just, you know, just blessed to be on the game, you know. But, yeah, I think they kind of tried me, though, too. Yeah, they could have upped it a little bit.
Well, you're coming into a big season here at Pitt in the ACC, and I want to start with this. What do you think makes an elite running back in college football?
To me, elite running back, you could just do multiple things. You're not just a running back. You know, you could block. You catch passes out the backfield. You're there when your quarterback needs you. You know, it's a lot of things that you could do, you know, to make you an elite running back. I don't think you elite running back could just run the ball. You know, anybody could just go out there and run the ball. But what can you do that others can't do? That I feel like that's what, you know, I'm trying to add to my. I'm not trying to just be a running back for, you know, I want to catch pass out the backfield, you know, be able to block for the quarterback. You know, I just want to be, you know, a source for the, you know, quarterback that I'm always there for.
I would love to have you break something down for us, all right? I'm loving having you on the show. We got running back Desmond Reed here for Pitt. So what would be your favorite play?
My favorite? Anything with me catching a pass out the backfield.
Really?
Yeah.
So you'd rather catch it than they hand it off to you?
To be honest, I really don't care. But if I had to choose, I'd rather do a route.
Okay.
You know, I like you know, doing routes against the linebackers, you know. It's just fun. You know, and I that's what I do at my team. So, you know, I do a lot of routes.
Yeah.
So I'll probably say that, yeah.
And then you get open space and you can really use your speed. I wonder, who did you look up to when you were growing up?
LeSean McCoy. He was my favorite running back growing up.
So you were all in on Pitt?
To be honest, I didn't really know about Pitt like that. I didn't really start watching LeSean McCoy until he got to the Eagles.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he's the reason I'm an Eagles fan. You know, I used to watch him growing up a lot. We kind of similar, you know, making people miss. You know, that's my game right there. So, yeah, he was somebody I really looked up to.
My goodness, is he a great guy to look up to. Shady McCoy with his jump cuts.
Yeah.
I mean, we covered the Commanders. I was a diehard Commanders fan. Mm-hmm. Broke my heart over and over again. Was part of some amazing teams there. So when you watch his film, when you look at some of the things he was able to do on tape, how do you think you can translate that to your game?
You know, really, he used to make a lot of people miss. You know, I'm trying to do better with that, making people miss, because, you know, last year, you know, hearing everybody, you're too small, all that. I was trying to run people over sometimes, you know. But this year, that's what I'm planning on doing, just trying to make people miss, you know. So, you know, watching him, how he made people miss in different ways, you know, I kind of take notes on that, and, you know, apply it to my game.
How have you not let your size be a disadvantage for you?
You know, I can't worry about my size. You know, I got to be different. You know, I'm trying to get to the NFL, you know, and how I get to them, I have to be different than all the other backs. You know, I don't have the size that they have. So, you know, I have to do multiple things. That's why I try to go on punt return too, you know, show my abilities on special teams. You know, I just want to be different, show coach that I could play whatever.
Being here in the ACC, it is one of the premier conferences in college football, and, you know, you have an opportunity to get to the college football playoffs, and we were joined by your coach, and it feels like it's a championship roster. Mm-hmm. Thought you had a championship roster last year if you could stay healthy. Do you feel like you guys are really coming together now throughout this off-season portion?
Oh, yes. You know, we bring a lot of guys in, so, you know, that was really the problem last year. Players started getting injured. You know, we're starting people different games, you know, so couldn't really get that feel, you know, that connection. You know, we brought in a lot of guys, a lot of good guys that's going to help us win. You know, I'm just excited for this year and see what them guys could do.
Well, I'm hoping it's going to be a big season for Pitt. I really appreciate you joining the show. How was your process of kind of switching universities and landing at Pitt? How did that work for you?
It was crazy because when I came to Pitt, it was snowing. Well, it wasn't snowing at the time, but it was real cold. And, you know, I'm a Miami guy, so, you know, I'm not really good with the cold. But the school I came from, Western Carolina, it gets cold, but it didn't get that cold. It'll probably be like 50, 40 degrees. But, you know, when I got to Pitt, it was like 20 degrees. You know, it was real cold. That was really the main thing, just the weather. And, you know, it's a city. Pittsburgh really like a city for real. So, you know, it was very different, but it's cool. You know, I'm getting used to the weather, you know, so I kind of like the cold now, you know, so that was really it, just the weather.
Yeah, but you are trying to make the transition here, and we talk about how there's so many negatives with the transfer portal. You can really be a positive story of it.
Yeah, you know, and that's one thing I want to, you know, be able to help others, you know. It was hard for, you know, FCS players, you know, go to Power 5.
Yeah.
But, you know, now it's a lot of FCS, not a lot, but, you know, I'm going to say a lot. It's a lot of FCS players, you know, that's going Power 5 now. And I'm happy that I'm being a part of that and, you know, helping with that. And I hope more, you know, FCS players can be able to do that, you know, because it's a lot of great players in the FCS, you know, that don't really get the chance to really showcase their talent. So, you know, I'm very happy for that.
There's a lot of great quarterbacks in the ACC. I think you got a great one at Pitt and Eli Holstein. What about his game do you think can take it to the NFL?
You know, he's a younger guy, so, you know, the difference from last year, he's more mature now. You know, he's, you know, did a lot of stuff on his body, you know, working on his body. You know, he's just being a leader now. You know, he has to be a leader for him to be a quarterback. But now he's old, he's getting older. You know, he's trying to look into the game now. So, yeah, he's going to be a different guy this year, and I'm just ready to see him play.
All right, so lastly, I want to end with this. So we do a segment, Dude Food, on our show. I love to eat. Of course, you see Biff here. He loves to eat as well. What's your game day meal?
If I had to choose a game day meal, I'm a big steak guy.
Okay.
I love steak. Steak and mashed potato, that's my favorite.
How do you like your steak cooked?
It depends where from. If it's a steak place, medium.
Okay.
You know, if it's like a, you know, a regular place that just, you know, half steak, medium well.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't like a little, you don't like the pink in it?
Not too much.
Yeah.
It could be
unless
pink,
you like really trust the chef.
Yeah, you know, that's why, you know, with the steak, you know, the steak spots, I kind of get it medium. You know, so, yeah, either medium or medium well would be my two.
And that's with steak and mashed potatoes?
Oh, yeah. I gotta have the mashed potatoes with it. You know, you got to have the mashed potatoes with the steak. You know, that's my go-to.
Will you go out to eat after a game, too?
Yeah, I have. You know, with my family, you know, after the games, we'll go. But I've been to Longhorn a lot after the games.
Okay.
Longhorn. I forgot the name of this place. It's somewhere. It's in Pittsburgh somewhere. We used to go. We went there like twice after the game. They got some nice food, chicken wings and all that. Yeah, so yeah,
it's always nice to have a victory meal, right?
Yeah, facts.
Well, Desmond, I really appreciate you joining the show, man. Thanks so much. Good luck this season.
Appreciate you.
You're listening to AWOD Radio. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, live from Charlotte, North Carolina for 2025 ACC kickoff. And this is where we get all the inside access, conversations with the biggest names in the ACC. And joining us right now, senior defensive back for Wake, Nick Anderson. What's up, Nick?
How's it going?
Doing great and awesome to get you on the show. A kid from Clifton, Virginia. Like I said, I'm from Fairfax. Can you explain that journey of playing high school football in Northern Virginia and then getting recruited and ending up at Wake?
Yeah, so you know, the recruiting process for me was not one that anyone should follow. I was in my opinion, really under-recruited. I had a couple offers coming out of high school. I went to Wake Forest on a Friday night, the 2019 season, and they offered me a preferred walk-on spot there, and I loved the atmosphere. I absolutely loved watching you know, the highest level of the ACC playing, and you know, that was where I knew my journey would take me.
Yeah, and you've obviously enjoyed your time at Wake because it's the era of everybody leaving, and yet you've stayed at Wake.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, they took a chance on me. I'm a very loyal person, and to go somewhere else after they, you know, gave me all these opportunities, it wouldn't sit right with me. So Wake is family and home.
How would you describe this journey throughout your time at Wake?
A lot of learned lessons, both tough and, you know, just stuff that's I'll take the rest of my life, you know, whatever I do, lessons that I've learned here. So Wake has blessed me with so many great opportunities and so many lessons that I'll take the rest of my life.
Senior defensive back Nick Anderson from Wake Forest with us, started every game last season. You were a tackling machine. Can you explain to our audience here how to execute the perfect tackle?
Oh, well, it starts with the mindset. You know, the first thing about tackling is, you know, you got to want to do it. And so, you know, just running full speed and getting scared at the last second, you know, we have a saying that, you know, it's a one-second decision in that moment of impact, and you got to be the one that's the aggressor. And so, to me, it's all about mindset, and all the rest of the technique stuff will take care of itself.
Man, I love that answer. Great breakdown. Now, I want to go back to last season, Wake Forest against Stanford, game on the line. You come up with the game-sealing interception. Mm-hmm. What was that feeling like?
Oh, it was great. I mean, it was a long trip out there, so to take a long trip home without a win would have been real bad. So just excited to get the win for the team.
Yeah, but can you kind of walk us through that moment there?
Yeah, so, you know, they were driving on us, and, you know, they had a stud outside receiver, and we knew they were going to eventually force-feed him the ball. And, you know, just read the quarterback and got over there on the sideline and made the play.
How have you felt like your game has improved throughout your time at Wake?
Well, I mean, you know, not only from just a, you know, the first thing I'd say is a physical stature standpoint. I came into Wake and I was still a baby. And so, you know, just working with the strength staff over the years to improve, you know, my strength and speed. And then just the mental aspect of the game, all the experience that I've had over my years. Now it's crazy when we do stuff, you know, guys have no idea, and it's like, you know, that seems very simple to me now. So all the experience has really helped me, but, you know, definitely the speed and the strength has been my biggest gains.
Joined by Nick Anderson, senior defensive back for Wake Forest from Clifton, Virginia, and telling me about your high school career at Centerville. I think it's so cool that you were a two-sport athlete. So tell our audience here. So you played point guard for the basketball team, and were you safety? Were you corner? What were you doing in high school for football?
Well, I was mainly a safety, but, you know, played in every really position that I could and stay on the field as long as possible. So, yeah, that on the football field was really every position.
And was that just, you know, everything you wanted in terms of being a two-sport athlete and the success in both sports there?
Yeah, so it was funny, you know, I grew up, soccer was my number one sport.
Okay.
And then I really made the shift to football. You know, I played football but really didn't focus on it until my sophomore year of high school. And then I wasn't even on the basketball team midway through my senior year. A couple guys got hurt and they called my name. So I came in and, you know, like I said, we were co-state champions because the game got canceled.
So do you think your soccer skills have helped translate into football?
Absolutely.
Like
absolutely.
The speed and stuff?
I'd say, you know, footwork, number one. I mean, just the ability, you know, to have really good, clean footwork that you have to have in soccer really helps, especially being a defensive back. Your feet have to be clean. And then, you know, just the aerobic ability, you know, to run all day. So that definitely helped.
So, Nick, I told you I have to ask you, do you bleed burgundy and gold? Do you believe in the Washington Redskins Commanders?
Well, I believe in them now. when I was a youngster that you know, just would follow whatever my family would do. I grew up a Patriots fan, but, you know, like I said, the Commanders are showing some real good promise now.
Yeah, I wonder if you would have been a fan if there was any success when you were growing up. I mean, I was a season ticket holder for 17 years, and my dad and I would pretty much fight every Sunday.
Yep.
We'd be like, why'd they do this? Why'd they do that? And it was loss after loss after loss. And, you know, being a Patriots fan, you were witnessing win after win after win.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, you know, that probably would have factored into it. I know I did enjoy, you know, we would go on our car rides and listen to, you know, 106.7 The Fan, listen to those guys argue every Monday about what to do differently. It was fun. So it was entertaining on that purposes. But I'm sure if they were a little bit better, then, you know, I would have had a little extra motivation to root for him.
So we're here at ACC kickoff, and you're representing Wake Forest, and I'm hoping you guys can have a big season, but I want to talk about this conference as a whole here. Do you feel like the ACC is in the same conversation as the SEC and the Big Ten?
Well, I mean, I think so. I mean, you know, you can call me biased or whatever, but I think year after year you see players that go on to the NFL and make really, really big strides. And then, you know, we've played SEC teams and Big Ten teams and some certain bowl games, and, you know, everyone's an athlete. Everyone, you know, works hard. And I think just the name of the school and name of the jersey is a little bit why there's such a big difference in, you know, what people say.
What do you think you need to accomplish this season to get drafted?
Well, I think, you know, number one is just to, you know, worry about one game at a time. I think you can't look too far ahead, you know, too far into the future. but worrying about one game at a time and doing the best thing for my team possible, and so that we have the best season possible, not only for me personally, but as a team.
Really appreciate the time, Nick. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM as we continue our coverage from Charlotte, North Carolina. It's AWOD on the Road presented by Cowan Gates, live from Radio Row here at the 2025 ACC kickoff. And it's time to bring in our buddy who joins us every year from these events for basketball and football, from 99.9 The Fan, The Drive with Tim Donnelly. What's going on, Tim?
Nothing much. I'm enjoying it. These events are always fun. See a lot of people you don't see that often.
Absolutely. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about the aura of this event and some of the big names. I mean, Cade Klubnik, that's the guy I would point to right now.
That last year, so on our show, the last segment we do when we leave ACC Media Day for football or basketball is we decide who kind of had that aura is a good word, but it's like when they walk in, everybody involuntarily like turns their head, like a bride at a wedding is how I describe it. Last year's choice was Cade Klubnik, which was interesting because he was coming off not a great first season as a starter, and we were like, he commanded the heck out of that room. Then he went on to throw for, you know, or account for 43 touchdowns against 6 picks. And I would say this year, even more comfort, right? Like, he's leaning back in the chairs during interviews. He's cameras are all over him, and he's doing all right. So, yeah, I'd expect another big season from Cade, and the rest of his team is pretty studly as well, so he'll have some help.
So we're here in Charlotte. How far of a trip is this for you guys?
Like 2:40 if we do it at 4 in the morning like we did yesterday with no traffic.
So let's start by focusing in on the schools that you cover, and how about NC State?
State is, and it's actually funny, I was talking with Dave Doran earlier on air, and he said it. Last year, they were the talk of this place because they had brought in a 5-star wide receiver from Ohio State, a running back from Oklahoma, a tight end from UConn who was the number one ranked tight end, a 2-year starter on the offensive line from Notre Dame, Grayson McCall from Coastal Carolina as one of the big-name quarterbacks. And it was almost like, you know, they won the offseason. Didn't go great last year, right? And talking to him today, I said, did you learn any lessons about that? And he goes, yeah, we took too many. Especially offensive football, so much about chemistry. And to have that many new faces, Wesley Grimes from Wake Forest joined NC State, it was tough for them. So this year, you felt more like development, right? The guys he's excited about are the same guys I was just mentioning, but now they're going into their second year at State. They know each other a little bit more. So I think they're kind of like, to use a fantasy football term, a post-hype sleeper. Mm. Like last year they had all the hype and didn't live up to it, so now everybody's like, not again, not falling for it again, and I think they could surprise some people positively.
It is a really fine line in terms of bringing in the right guy, but not too many of them. The Tar Heels are pretty much a brand new team.
Tar Heels, I think it's 41 total, but I think when you get a new coach, it's you almost have to.
Yeah.
You know, we talked to Wake Forest yesterday, and part of my questions for both DeMond Claiborne, the running back, and Jake Dickert, their new coach, was, like, how the heck did you get this guy to stay? When you have good players and there's a new coach, they just leave. That's what happens, and they go make a bunch of money in NIL. And UNC dealt with some of that. Some guys left, you know, some defensive players, which I was surprised because I'm like, if your new coach is Bill Belichick,
the greatest defensive mind ever.
Why is a defensive player leaving? But it's just not the guy that brought him in, right? And he wants to get his guys. So, I bet you there's some growing pains early on for UNC, but, you know, based on that coaching staff, how will they not be better week 10 than they are week 1? Like, they'll improve.
Joined by Tim Donnelly, 99.9 The Fan, The Drive with Tim Donnelly. Let's focus on the quarterbacks. As you were a former quarterback, mm-hmm. You know, I do feel like the ACC calls themselves the conference of quarterbacks, but when you have the number one overall pick, and Cam Ward, you can kind of puff your chest out a little
bit.
Yeah. I might have a bold prediction that Klubnik could go number one overall, but what do you think about the quarterbacks in this conference?
I'll match your. I don't know if that's not that bold. I think he last year, from a quarterback play standpoint, is the best of the returners. Right, if you're throwing him out there with Carson Beck at Miami, who might have some physical gifts, like he didn't play as well as Cade Klubnik last year. And there's a few others. Nussmeier at LSU, same thing. It's like, I know you have the pedigree, but so does Klubnik. So I'm high on Klubnik. Darian Mensah is in the running for my, like, the magnetic guy we were talking about. This is crazy, and I'll just pass along a story. We were talking with Manny Diaz and Darian Mensah, the quarterback at Duke, incoming transfer, reportedly NIL per year between $3 and $4 million.
Yeah.
he did the pro quarterback thing where you pay for and host your wide receivers in some faraway city to work out for a week in the offseason. He took his wide receivers to Tampa. And I was like, well, wait a second. You're from California. You played at Tulane in New Orleans. Now you're in Durham. Why are you going to Tampa? It's where his agent's from. So he is, you know, they call, and UNC is calling themselves, Belichick, the 33rd NFL team. Duke's quarterback is operating like an NFL quarterback. And they don't have a ton of transfers in and out. He's the big addition. I think Darian Mensah is one that could surprise. Elsewhere, you know, I brought him up, Carson Beck. Another $4 million guy. You're going to expect big things out of him. Kyron Drones, you probably know more than I would about that. He's a physically gifted guy, but now they have options at quarterback. So that's Virginia Tech. There's some interesting ones up and down the ACC.
Yeah, we also cover Virginia, and for the first time, I'm excited about their quarterback. I sat here with Tony Musket, and nothing against him, because I love the fact he's from Fairfax County like I am, but I didn't feel like he was the it factor. And then, you know, we sat down with Anthony Calandria, and he had the highs. The highs were high, but the lows were too low. And I think they're hoping Chandler Morris can bring the highs and not as many lows.
Chandler Morris is an interesting one for me. He's been around the block a few times, right? Oklahoma, what was it, TCU? North Texas is where he kind of figured it out. But yeah. That's not Power 4. I always say Power 5. That's not Power 4 football. So I'm curious to see if he put it together in a way that will now work at the Power Conference level. UVA is – I've actually – this I don't know if this is a hot take, right? You bump into media people. I've heard more than one say if there's going to be like an SMU of this year that really comes out of nowhere and surprises people – Virginia's kind of a popular dark horse.
You got the college football playoffs, 12 teams, and when they expanded, I said last year, the ACC needs two teams in every single year to hold that representative, to hold that power. With the SEC, they're going to get four, they're going to get five. Big Ten's going to get their representatives. So can the ACC get two schools in again? They kind of got lucky to get two in last year.
I think last year was a bad year, and they got two. I think most years, in order to not be worried about the conference, you need three. Two is acceptable. Like, that's okay. But there's, again, there's too much money. And, like, when you start talking about automatic bids, you're hearing, like, 4-4-3, right? Four for the Big Ten, four for the SEC, three for the ACC. In order to keep those conversations that make sense, you got to get three occasionally before they give you three. And then also, I would ask for four. But if you're only luckily getting two every now and then, how are you asking for four, right? So it's almost like if we assume at some point the conference commissioners agree on the auto bids or the automatic qualifiers, maybe when they expand to 16, you need to have a track record of getting a certain amount in order to ask for a certain amount of auto bids and have it make sense. So with the brands they have, I think you'd aim for four. Three is a realistic. Two is like, if anything less than this, we got problems.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and it all starts week one, because that's the massive opportunity. We already been talking about LSU, Clemson, but around the ACC, you have to win probably more than 500%. Like, you got to go above 500 in those non-conference week one games.
Around here at ACC kickoff, you mentioned that they brand themselves the Conference of Quarterbacks. There's like three taglines. There's the Conference of Quarterbacks. There's preeminent players, which is a little vague.
And we're sending people to the league.
Yeah, there you go. And like, you know, transfer portal additions and everything. If you read the little fine print. And then the other is the toughest non-conference schedule in the country.
Yeah.
The ACC schedules aggressively, which I love, but it is a high-risk, high-reward proposition. You win those games, vault everybody up the rankings. You lose those games, you give just another argument to those other conferences to say we're stronger, right? So, yeah. I mean, and there's a bunch of games. The two AFLAC kickoffs are ACC versus SEC. Mm-hmm. Got to get at least one of those. You're looking at all of the Notre Dame games, right? Because the ACC has the agreement. You got to start beating Notre Dame every now and then, more often than like, oh, conference changing win, we beat Notre Dame. If you're going to play five ACC games a year, you got to win those more often, or else it's going to continue to put a gap between what everybody thinks about Notre Dame in rankings time and what everybody thinks about the ACC.
Yeah, but you can see the importance of those week one games based off of like Clemson last year. They had to work the entire season to get their reputation back from getting blown out by Georgia.
And that's where the beauty contest comes in. Like, you can lose to Georgia, you can't lose like that to Georgia, right? It's you got to look like there's something going on there. I think that was the issue with that one. Because the other thing is these week one games, like, you know, week six, if I got to, like, you know, if your wife wants you to mow the lawn, you got to pick your two games that you can watch. Week one, it's like block out the calendar, yeah, right? We're watching every single game. So there's not much, there's you can't hide in week one.
Yeah.
So it's not even just scoreboard
watching. Even Bill Belichick can't hide. He's got TCU.
TCU, absolutely. And if that game is 17-14 and they lose, everyone's going to go, Bill Belichick's defense travels, just got to get the offense to figure out. If they lose, 34-14, all of a sudden it's going to be the whole conversation. And on top of that, everybody's going to watch and every turnover is going to be dissected. So week one non-conference games are important, but they're equally as important for every other conference, right? If a team loses five games to the ACC, or as a conference loses five games to the ACC or non-Power 5 schools, Power 4 schools, that's just as embarrassing for any other conference as it would be for the ACC.
Tim, really appreciate you joining the show. What do you got coming up today on 99.9 The Fan?
Well, it's like borderline a press play show for us. We've been cranking out and banking interviews all day, so you'll hear from all the players at State, all the players at Duke. We'll have audio from Belichick. He didn't do the breakout thing with us, but we grabbed some audio from his bigger media availability. It's been fun. I just, these ACC kickoffs are about the players and the coaches, so that's what we're going to try to make it about.
That's Tim Donnelly. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD on The Fan. Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM live from ACC kickoff in Charlotte, North Carolina. AWOD on the road presented by Cowan Gates. And we're sitting down with running back for Wake Forest, the Demon Deacons, Damon Claiborne. What's going on, man?
How you doing, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing great here. And as we sit here, ACC kickoff, we are a few months away from actual kickoff.
Absolutely.
What do you think you guys need to accomplish in this time here before we get to September?
Right now, where we are as a team, I think if we need to just to continue to, establish those little small habits and those little small details, just sharpening up some of the things that we might have not sharpened up quite right in the spring. We got a lot of new added pieces to this team, and so just getting everybody back along, getting everybody back in tune to, what we need to accomplish come Kennesaw State is definitely something that we all want to continue to, stay focused on.
Damon, before we focus on this season, I want to rewind because so much has changed in college football. What was it like for you in high school and getting recruited?
Yeah, so I grew up in Richmond, Virginia, actually in a small town called King William County. Small country boy, not many opportunities. I actually was the first person in school history to go Division I directly out of high school. So my journey through high school was definitely harder than the typical guy who goes to a top high school and gets offered from every school in the country. But ultimately, deciding to come to Wake Forest was kind of within the lines of how my community did things, and it just was building a family base. Coach Clawson and John Hunter at the time came to my hometown and met my parents and met my coaches and let me know that they see me within this program and within the goals that they had set for themselves. And so growing up definitely wasn't easy. Single mom, five brothers. So we kind of went through it, but, that's my reason why to continue to go.
I love that story, Damon, and I'm sure we probably aired one of your games here, 804 High School Football,
yeah.
910 The Fan in Richmond, Virginia. Can you tell us about some of your rivalries in high school football?
Yeah, so, we had a little town rivalry, West Point. Nothing too crazy. We would beat them every year, but, we had, three rules that we lived by at my high school is that, you were going to die. You have to pay taxes, and we never lose to West Point. That was our motto, and before we played those, our coaches allowed us to – they put that message in front of us and, told us that we had to, kill these dudes when we stepped on the field. And, every time we played them, we beat them pretty bad. But, West Point for sure.
I'd love to hear more about your upbringing and how it kind of shaped the person that you are today.
Yeah, 100%. So growing up with just my mom, I have a twin brother. So growing up with just my mom, my twin, and then my younger brothers.
What's your twin's name?
Damien.
So Damien, Damon.
Damien and Damon. Yeah. Uh-huh. And So we kind of, you know, as a young kid, I lived with my grandma for a little bit and my grandpa. And then my grandpa passed, and then we moved to the city of Richmond for a little bit and lived up there for a bit. And then we actually got the opportunity to move back to the country. My mom got on her feet a little bit and started establishing some type of, you know, grounds for us to, you know, have opportunities to see better and to do better. And so she provided us with that opportunity. You know, when COVID came, it kind of set her back a while. And so my mom actually right now is working 3 jobs, you know what I mean? And so for my mom to get up every morning and that be her vision, her goal is to work, you know, 3 jobs to provide for the family is definitely something that keeps me motivated, to keep me wanting to continue to want to do this at a high level so I can get her out of that situation.
That's a fantastic story, Demond. And I'm sure your hard work has really, you know, felt like a blessing with, you know, the success that you've had at the college level. And we were talking with one of our buddies from 99.9, the Fan. He said, you got to ask him, how did you get so fast?
I don't even know. Maybe mom, but yeah, I don't know. It's just a blessing. It's one of those gifts.
Yeah, one of the fastest players in EA Sports in the new college football game. Have you gotten a chance to play using yourself?
Yeah, I got a chance to play a little bit. I actually just was playing upstairs a little bit against Devon Patterson. He actually spanked me a little bit with my guy, actually. And so that was fun to be around. But yeah, definitely pretty cool to see that. And, you know, hopefully throughout the season, once they see that I got a little faster, they'll up it a little more.
Oh, really? You think they got it slightly wrong?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I think a lot of that stuff they got a little slightly wrong.
What is your best 40 time?
4.36 is what I ran in high school at a camp. Ran a 4.36.
And man, then, you might be sub 4.3 now.
Yeah, maybe faster.
Really?
Nah, I'll say 4.31, 4.32, because I'm definitely bigger now. Yeah, I mean, this whole offseason with this new staff has been how can we get this to be the fastest team in the ACC? And so everything we did was, you know, trying to get faster, speed mechanics, you know, going through techniques and different ways to help us get faster. And so I definitely feel like from last year to now, I'm definitely way faster.
How can you guys make sure that you get the ball in open space to really be able to use that speed and not be dodging tacklers?
Yeah, I mean, we have elite receiver core. We brought in some guys that can make plays, you know, and so, you know, defenses have them prepared for the running back, the QB, and those receivers can definitely allow us in certain schemes and certain ways to get the plays on the perimeter, get me in space, allow me to, you know, have a lot of more one-on-one matches. And so that's what, you know, this staff has came in and, you know, put in front of me. Like, you know, sometimes you got to beat one, you know what I mean? And that's just the name of the game. And so, yeah, just having a coaching staff that comes in and believes that, you know, you could be the guy that get in space and make plays is definitely something that is honoring and cool to be around.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most college football talk in town, and we're here with Demond Claiborne right now. So, you know, the Richmond area has produced some great football talent. Mm-hmm. What was your coaching situation like, and how have they kind of mentored you?
Yeah, so I had a coach named Maurice Newbill, actually played running back at the University of Richmond. Coming up, he was kind of like my role model. You know, I did everything with him and his family. His wife was actually my guidance counselor in high school. And so even when I got to school, I had a support system there allowing me to, you know, want to do better for myself and pushing me to do better for myself. And so, you know, being around Cammy Newbill and Maurice Newbill, those people really helped me be to where I am today, you know. And, you know, that saying that it takes, you know, a village to raise a kid is definitely real and true, because without having Cammy and, you know, Coach Newbill around me, helping me and establishing these good winning habits, and I wouldn't be where I am today. Patrick Kane also last year came in, was my high school coach at King William. Him and Scott Moore, you know, he produced many of you know, college athletes and NFL athletes. Great coach in the Richmond area. He definitely was a vital person into me making the decision to go to Wake. Him and Coach Clawson had developed a great relationship because of Greg Dortch and, you know, guys even before that. And so, you know, having just people in my corner who seen it, who's been it, who's done it, is definitely was something that's vital to my career and being here at Wake Forest.
Yeah, I mean, the area's produced NFL talent. You look last year, T.J. Warren, Travion Henderson.
Yeah, a whole bunch of guys.
Did you ever play against any of those guys? They're too old.
Their class was too big.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 2A. Those guys, 4A, 5A.
Right, right. So, Demond Claiborne, running back for Wake Forest, sitting with us here. He's a Richmond Spider. I'm a VCU Ram.
Okay.
I know you're a football guy, but which team would you support?
Probably the Richmond Spiders.
Oh!
I actually got a buddy that plays there now, linebacker Peyton Tillman. Just got there not too long ago. And a guy named Jordan Houston also. Like, I know a couple guys that go to the University of Richmond, and I'm a ball guy, football guy, so definitely got to go with football for sure.
I respect that answer, but VCU football's undefeated.
Yeah.
Demond, thanks so much for joining the show, man. Really appreciate it. And I think it's a terrific story from a great area, man. And we'll all be rooting for you, man.
Absolutely. Thank you, brother. I appreciate y'all for sure.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for the most college football talk in town, and joining us right now from the Duke Blue Devils, defensive end Wesley Williams. What's going on, man?
How you doing? Good to see you.
I'm doing great. Good to get you with us here today. And so I want to start with this. Do you have a person that comes to mind when I ask you, who did you admire growing up watching football?
Oh, yeah, easy. DeMarcus Lawrence.
Okay.
I'm a Cowboys fan, born, raised. And like I said, I probably started playing tackle football about the same time he was really turning up with the Cowboys. He's throwing that cross chop. I still love to throw it. I mean, he taught me how to do it just watching him play. He plays with so much intensity, so much passion. I know he's not with the Cowboys anymore, but just, you know, I really admire him.
I think that's an interesting answer because I feel like a lot of players don't play the same. So you basically started as an edge rusher and have been the same position throughout high school into college?
Yeah, I started out playing defensive end in sixth grade because I started playing ball a little bit later. Defensive end for the sixth, seventh grade, middle linebacker in eighth grade just because I was bigger and faster than everybody. Then back to defensive end, and then I played tight end in high school too. But yeah, I've been defensive end pretty much straight through.
And what was the name of your high school?
Battlefield High School.
Battlefield High School. So I went to South County. I'm from Fairfax, Virginia.
So cool, man.
So I know all about Northern Virginia football in that area there. One of my best friends from college went to, I believe he went to Battlefield. He was from Gainesville, Virginia.
Yep.
So what did you think of high school football in that area, man?
I think it was great. My first couple years, we weren't, you know, the best. We kind of got better year to year. We were, like, always hanging around seven wins. Then my last year, we really figured it out. I think we rattled off, like, 13 straight, made it to the state semis. We got bounced state semis. But it's really fun. I feel like, you know, the Virginia high school football scene is really competitive. I think we got a lot of great talent. I'm just going to shout out my Battlefield guys, too. Any coaches listening, go check those guys out. You know, they're monsters. We got a lot of guys who are, should be playing some D1 ball here soon. Just super competitive, really fun, honestly.
Joined by Wesley Williams from the Duke Blue Devils. So you grow up in Gainesville, Virginia, go to Battlefield, but you mentioned you were a Cowboys fan. So, like, how does that happen? Like, your family were all Cowboys fans?
My family are Cowboys fans. My granddad, he played football at Elizabeth City State University, and he roomed with a guy named Jethro Pugh, who was a Cowboys fan. And literally, that's it. That's the connection. Like, that's it. That's the connection, and I just stuck with it since, you know?
So would you ever go to FedEx Field to watch the Cowboys against the Commanders?
Absolutely. I think one time, it was like 2014, Tony Romo had that crazy comeback in there.
Oh, I was there.
I was there, too.
What did he find? He found, like, Dez Bryant in the back of the end zone.
Yeah, and we were there with my uncle, who's a Commanders fan.
Yeah.
And he was just sick to his stomach. He had to drive. He drove, so he had to drive us home. We were just talking crap in the back of the car on the way home, just chirping. It was a really fun time.
Man, you mentioned that game crushed my heart, and you're over here smiling, laughing about it.
Man, I'm telling you, that's one of my fondest memories as a Cowboys
fan. Hey, we got revenge the year later.
Yeah,
Fat
sure
Rob
did.
And those boys.
Oh, man.
But, hey, while we're focusing on it, though, so do you feel like the NFC East is the premier division in the NFL?
I mean, if we're talking in terms of Super Bowls, absolutely. You know, we all know the facts. But, I think so. It's a really competitive league, and it was my favorite league to watch. I grew up on it. You know, when the TV deals weren't the best, the Commanders were on. If I couldn't catch the Cowboys, catch the Commanders, catch the Giants, Eagles. I mean, Eagles won the bowl last year, so I mean, it's super competitive bowl.
Joined by Duke defensive end Wesley Williams, honorable mention All ACC in 2024, 27 career games, 15 starts, 87 tackles, 20 tackles for loss, 9 sacks. You've done it all at Duke. I mean this in the most respectful way possible. What is it like being at Duke where the basketball players are kind of the stars on campus?
Definitely. You know, it's not as crazy as you'd think. I think that the student body and the community is really recognizing the work we're putting in to, you know, give them a good product, you know, for ourselves and for the community. They support us really well. Durham has done a great job coming on. I mean, filling up Wally Wade, all of that. So, you know, I've never felt second tier or anything like that. We're friends with the basketball guys. They're great dudes. So, I mean, yeah, never felt second tier. Just feels like a big family.
So your teachers are they're treating you the same as Cooper Flagg.
I won't go all the way there, but close enough.
That's awesome, man. And was it fun watching them this season?
Absolutely. I only made it to one game this year, but it was the Duke UNC game. Actually, two games. Duke UNC and then Wake Forest game, and they were both great. Cooper's the truth through and through. Come on, all those guys. I think they actually watched my dog at one point. I got a mini wiener dog, and they watched him at some point. But
you know, and you trust them?
Yeah, no, they're good guys. They're good guys. My dog, he gave them the okay.
All right, here with Duke Blue Devil defensive end Wesley Williams. All right, I got to ask you an interesting question. How old is your head coach?
Oh, my goodness. It's like a trick question. You going to show him this? I don't know, actually. I have no idea. I'm going to put Manny somewhere in the 40s. He looks good, though. You know, he work out every day. I don't know, though.
51.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, Manny looks great, man.
Yeah. Our intern told us that was trending online, but you had the perfect reaction. I love that, man. So thanks so much for joining us today. And I want to close with this here. You know, this is a big season for the ACC Conference of Quarterbacks, and you guys have a guy that you guys are pretty confident about, right?
Absolutely. Darian Mensa. First and foremost, I just want to say he's a great teammate. He's a real joy to be around. You know, sometimes it's not a problem at Duke, but you hear about guys coming in from the portal not buying into the culture, and that's never been an issue with any of our guys, especially not Darian. I mean, obviously he's got some status, you know, but Darian, he's been great. He came in a stud, but honestly, I've seen him develop even from spring to now. You know, he's got a rocket arm, great feet, he can run, so I'm just really excited to watch him work.
Do you guys have a game you're looking forward to most this upcoming season? I mean, you look at Duke, UNC in basketball, and now for football, it's Bill Belichick coming in.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, Duke, UNC is fun. We got some big games on the schedule, but, you know, football is such a fleeting experience. You know, you work three quarters of the year for 12 games, and those are fleeting. So I think to look past any game, to, you know, to say that one game is my favorite is just wrong. Every game is a special experience. It's very unique. So I'm just excited for every opportunity I get.
What would you say has been the most difficult part about keeping it together as a team throughout the non-conference, through the conference schedule, to the postseason?
Really, it's just health. You know, football is a violent game. Just, you know, you got to go the extra mile to make sure your body's where it needs to be, or else it won't be there for you. So, really, just, you know, staying healthy. We got great team chemistry. You know, that's never going to be an issue. Staying healthy, staying focused. You get into those exam season too at Duke, and it gets a little tricky, but you know, we do well.
Well, good luck. Wesley Williams, defensive end for the Duke Blue Devils. Virginia kid, Gainesville. You know what, man? Jaden Daniels says the Commander's on the come up. You know, you can you can change and wear the burgundy and gold. Be fine with me.
Man, I'll be grateful wherever I end up.
My man, thanks so much.
Appreciate you, man.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.